Greetings, bibliophiles and mythology enthusiasts. You've tapped out your community library's resources and found yourself at the doorstep of fireside folklore with Hades. This is the podcast where the Greek gods of yore, after getting tired of mortals co-opting them for their ridiculous cartoons, decided to fight against the blue flaming hair and the I'm a coward who can't fight a mouse image by putting the world of folklore through our own brand of adaptation. I am your tireless host, Hades, the keeper of history's secrets and the witness to humanity's hypocrisy. I am joined here by Dionysus, the merry god of wine and revelry, while my lovely wife Persephone brings spring to the world above. We're also joined by Hermes, the herald of the gods and psychopomp. If that word gives you pause, don't worry. It simply means that Hermes helps navigate us across the world, pointing out the various landmarks and icons of the many countries' cultures and geography. On the 1st of April, Israel broke an inviolable tenet of international law. But don't take it from me, folks. I'm going to do an unprecedented thing by handing the microphone over to our resident god of war for a moment to speak a few words.
Soldiers for peace on the 1st of April. Israel bombed Iran's consulate located in Syria, which was a severe breach of international law. Under the Vienna Conventions of 1961, diplomats and their embassies are inviolable, including during times of war. This is in place to promote peace talks and maintain international relations, even during the most dire of times. However, when Iran chose to retaliate, suddenly Iran was made out to be the villain and condemned for violating international law. Iran has a right to defend itself, folks, and to its credit, Iran's coordinated attack with cruise and ballistic missiles, drones, and UAVs targeted legitimate military assets. Unlike the many thousands of civilians that Israel has killed during their genocidal rampage in Gaza, and are shamelessly expanding into the West Bank. This attack served multiple purposes, namely retaliation, displaying Iran's military might, and gathering intelligence on the strengths and weaknesses of Israel and its allies' defense capabilities. The laws of war need to be applied to all countries equally. No country may act with impunity. Indeed, the West's unconditional support for Israel, whether they kill children in Gaza or bomb aid workers, and their pulling of aid from UNRWA based on Israel's evidence, which turned out to be nothing more than a flimsy house of cards, is what got us to this precarious place. And now, the client state, which the West thought was their puppet, has become the puppeteer.
As you can see, the world's leaders spiral into the depths of hypocrisy, have once again been put on display for all of us to see. And I can't help but wonder if another divine flood would be in order. But then I realize that I'd be burdened with the task of finding a punishment for every one of these hypocritical and power-hungry wackadoos in Tartarus. And believe me, if I had to come up with so many sentences in such a short time, you can bet I would inevitably allow some people to get away with punishments that were far too lenient for their actions. So let's leave the flood idea for another time and focus on our task at hand, exploring the rich and varied world of folklore, free from the encroaching shadows of political strife. This week we set our sights on Yemen, a country which has directly been blockading the Red Sea and Indian Ocean, making it very difficult for Israel to receive weapons and other necessities required for them to continue their merciless onslaught on the Palestinians living in Gaza, not to mention exacting a high economic price as trade has been disrupted. This tale, Cloud Camels, is a story adapted from a book of Yemeni folk tales entitled From the Land of Sheba by Carolyn Hahn. Sit back, allow the warmth of the fire to relax your body and invigorate your soul. Friends, let the storytelling begin.
Good evening. It's great to be here with you today. With another story on the horizon, I've got my drink ready right here, which I'll be sipping as I sit by this fire and hear this tale unfold.
Brother Zeus, who's our sponsor this evening? I'm very intrigued to find out who you were able to bamboozle into sponsoring tonight's podcast.
Introducing Cloud Camel's Magical Molding Mist, the latest enchantment from the innovators at Cirrus Crafts. Why settle for earthbound toys when you can sculpt the very clouds above? Cloud Camels isn't just a plaything, it's a portal to a sky-high adventure right in your living room. Crafted from the fluffiest, most buoyant materials harvested from the morning mists of Mount Olympus, this miraculous molding mist is lighter than air and cooler than a breeze. Simply pop the lid, let the mist roll out, and watch as it gathers in your hands like the fog of a mysterious enchanted forest. Use our special Sky Shaker activator, a pinch of pixie dust infused sprinkles, and see your creations float and bob through the air. From the grandest of towering cloud castles to the most delicate of winged fairies, Cloud Camels brings them to life, soaring and sweeping through your own personal airspace. But wait, there's more. Each can of Cloud Camels comes with a color-changing feature. Watch in awe as your cloud creations shift through a rainbow of colors at your command, mimicking the sunrise or the twilight glow with just a touch. Perfect for parties, playdates, or solo flights of fancy, Cloud Camels ensures no two play sessions are ever the same. And the best part? As the play ends, each ethereal sculpture gently dissolves back into the air, leaving behind no mess, only memories of magical mirth. Now hold on to your hats for the speed round disclaimer.
Warning, Cloud Camel's magical molding mist should be used under adult supervision. Not suitable for children under 3 years due to small parts. Prolonged exposure may lead to daydreams of flight, an unusual fondness for cloudy days, and spontaneous rain dances. Do not use near open windows or outdoors during windy conditions, as creations may float away into the sunset. Always cap the can securely after use to keep the magic intact.
Cloud Camel's magical molding mist. Because why play on the ground when you can sculpt the sky? Grab a can today and start your ascent into the imagination.
That just might be my next purchase. It can get quite lackluster down in the underworld. Now, Hermes, I hope you were able to find some fun facts about Yemen.
I absolutely did, Uncle Hades. Yemen is quite the treasure trove of facts. Here are the three that I was most eager to share. 1. Socotra Island. This otherworldly island is part of an archipelago off the coast of Yemen, and is often called the Galapagos of the Indian Ocean, due to its incredible biodiversity. Over a third of Socotra's plant species are found nowhere else on Earth. One of the most iconic species is the dragon's blood tree, which has a unique umbrella-like appearance and produces a red sap that was highly prized in ancient times for its supposed medicinal properties and as a dye. 2. Skyscrapers of Shibam, often referred to as the Manhattan of the desert. The city of Shibam boasts some of the oldest skyscrapers in the world. These towering mud brick buildings, some rising over 100 feet and dating back to the 16th century, were designed to protect residents from Bedouin attacks. Shibam's high-rise architecture, made entirely from mud, shows the ingenuity of ancient Yemeni engineering, utilizing vertical construction to maximize limited space and maintain community closeness within the city walls. 3. Frankincense. Yemen was historically part of the ancient incense route, critical for the trade of frankincense and myrrh, two of the most valued commodities of the ancient world. These aromatic resins were used for everything from religious ceremonies and burial rituals to treatments for various ailments. The trees that produce frankincense and myrrh thrive in the arid regions of Yemen and were once considered worth their weight in gold, playing a significant role in the wealth and development of the region through trade with the Roman Empire and beyond. Yemen's rich history and unique natural environments make it a land of mystery and marvel, deeply woven with traditions and nature unlike anywhere else in the world.
Thank you, Hermes. Now let's all rise for the Yemeni national anthem, Al-Jumhuriyya Al-Muttahida. Despite the many national anthems we have heard, one thing is clear. They all express a deep love for and pride of their countries. Now let's turn to tonight's folktale, one known as Cloud Camels. We'll be joined by Poseidon playing the Sheikh of the village, Artemis playing the Sultan's herald, Hephaestus playing the Sultan, and the rest of the cast playing villagers and palace personnel as needed.
My goodness, brother, what's this? I get to play the protagonist?
Yes, you do. I realize that we have yet to feature you in a purely heroic role. Now let us begin our tale. Once upon a time, many centuries ago, there lived a just and fair sultan who was known throughout his lands for being kind and compassionate. Unfortunately, he was struck with an illness that no doctor could cure, and he died suddenly, leading to his young son taking the throne.
I'm going to be the best sultan ever by showing the world my might and wealth. I'll build a statue of myself and have it erected in the city center. I'll ensure that I have the best Arabian horses pulling my carriages. But first, I'll build a fort and show the world my might. I'll have all of the villages and towns under my domain cut down 100 trees and deliver the logs from all of those trees so that I can build the most magnificent fort ever seen. Herald, please go to every corner of my kingdom and make this announcement. I expect 100 trees worth of logs delivered to me within 2 weeks.
No village was exempt, not even the village in our tale, which was one of the smallest villages in the kingdom.
The Sultan has decreed that all villages and towns must provide His Royal Majesty with logs from 100 trees. The delivery must be made in 2 weeks. That is all.
Now the people in this small village knew that if they cut down so many trees, it would not only be bad for the animals which thrived in the forest, but it would quite literally destroy the village's livelihood. They needed the trees for firewood and always took as little as possible so as to ensure that their home would be sustainable for many generations.
What are we going to do? If we chop down 100 trees and turn them into logs, we'll decimate our homeland. Some of the trees we'll have to chop down will be the fruit trees which bring us nourishment. Whatever can we do? The Sultan will punish us if we don't comply with his orders.
Let's discuss this with the Sheikh. He'll know what to do.
And so the villagers all gathered in the main square to discuss the issue with the Sheikh. He was a wise and clever man who had led the village justly for many years, and if anybody could get the villagers out of this pickle, it would be him.
It's clear we must come up with a solution that is enduring. Otherwise, the Sultan will constantly ask us to do things that could bring our village to ruin.
With that in mind, the Sheikh carefully considered the situation until an idea occurred to him.
All right, everyone, let's chop down a few trees. Pick 3 most likely to fall. If the wood is rotten, all the better.
Puzzled but intrigued, the villagers followed the instructions of their beloved leader and chopped down 3 old trees, which would soon be felled by heavy wind anyway. Then, they brought the trees over to the village square.
What should we do with these trees?
Don't worry about making logs. We need to make wood chips and sticks. Nothing should be more than 5 centimeters long. I know it will be hard work, but trust me, this will be our salvation.
The villagers, whose faith in their sheikh was strong, worked tirelessly throughout the next week and a half until they had turned the 3 trees into wood chips and sticks, each one no bigger than a child's pinky finger. Then they loaded this payload into a cart drawn by a donkey, and the sheikh, along with some of the other villagers, went to deliver it to the Sultan at his palace. When they arrived, there were whispers as people gawked at their contribution.
How do they expect us to build a fort with that?
Are they mad?
Clearly we're dealing with a village of fools.
Well, when the Sultan saw the towering pile of wood chips, he decided to test these villagers.
After all, they might be trying to fool me in order to get out of giving me the 100 trees I requested.
So he went and personally met the Sheikh and his companions.
I told you to bring me the logs from 100 trees. What is this? You didn't bring what I asked for.
Well, Your Majesty, we thought it would be easier to carry all of the wood if we cut it up into little pieces. Is something wrong with that?
These people are fools or having a laugh at my expense. Let's test them.
With that, the Sultan invited the villagers to have lunch with him.
Cook, I want you to put a handful of gold coins into each villager's bowl of soup. If they are truly fools, they won't realize this is money. But if they are simply trying to disobey my orders, then they'll simply take the money and pay a heavy price for their insubordination.
Realizing what the Sultan had planned, the Sheikh immediately looked at the soup bowl with an expression of wonder.
Your cook forgot to remove the seeds from the potatoes, Your Majesty. How careless. Yet I thank you for your hospitality nonetheless.
Following his lead, the villagers also removed the gold pieces from their bowls and tossed them into their napkins, not stealing a single one.
These villagers must be fools, but I shall give them one more test.
Turning to the villagers, he said,
Let us go for a walk. It's always good to move about after one has had a heavy meal.
Without further discussion, the Sheikh and his villagers followed the Sultan out of the palace. They walked up the mountain to the very top, and the Sultan gazed dreamily up at the sky.
What are you looking at, Your Majesty?
Cloud camels,
the Sultan proclaimed with excitement. Before anybody could react, the Sheikh beamed with joy and jumped off of the mountain, proclaiming,
Yippee! Cloud camel, take me home!
Convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that the village was made up of absolute fools, the Sultan never asked them to do a single thing for him again, and they were able to live in peace. As for the Sheikh, he had actually jumped into a tree and swung away like a monkey, making it safely home.
That was a unique and clever tale. I've never seen anything like it before. Thank you, Uncle Hades.
Of course. Now, Dionysus, what beverage will you be sharing with us today, inspired by the rich culture of the Yemenis?
Esteemed listeners and lovers of flavors, tonight I bring you the Socotra Island Punch, a delightful concoction that captures the essence of Yemen's tropical paradise. For this mocktail, you'll need mango juice, pineapple juice, coconut water, a squeeze of fresh lime, and a dash of nutmeg. In a pitcher, mix equal parts of mango and pineapple juice. Add coconut water and a squeeze of lime to enhance the tropical flavors. Sprinkle a little nutmeg on top for a hint of spice. Serve chilled with a slice of lime on the rim of the glass. A perfect refreshment to enjoy as we dive into our tale.
Dionysus, while the Socotra Island Punch sounds like a refreshing elixir fit for the gods, suppose one wanted to make this beverage a touch more celebratory? What might you suggest to add a bit more zest, or should I say a bit more spirit, to this concoction?
Ah, Hades, always insightful. For those who wish to elevate the Socotra Island Punch into a more festive realm, I recommend the addition of a splash of white rum or coconut rum. This will harmonize beautifully with the tropical notes of the juice and coconut water, enhancing the punch with a spirited kick that is sure to enliven any gathering. Just a splash will do, or to the taste of our mortal friends, ensuring every sip is as enchanting as the Isles of Socotra themselves.
Ah, that sounds absolutely splendid. I'll definitely be enjoying a refreshing glass once this recording session concludes. Now, Brother Zeus, tell us what you have in store for our lightning round.
All right, listeners, here's how it works. I will ask you three questions about tonight's episode. The first person to send me the correct answers will win a $25 gift certificate to Etsy, where you can pick up some Yemeni coffee. Because contrary to what you might know, Yemen is where coffee originally came from. If you'd like to participate, please send your answers to me at zeus@firesidefolklorewithhades.com and put Lightning Round with Zeus, Episode 5, in the subject line. Please be sure to include your name or pseudonym and where you're listening from if you'd like us to acknowledge your win in a future episode. Are you ready? Let's go. 1. Why is Socotra Island called the Galapagos of the Indian Ocean? 2. Yemen was historically part of the ancient incense route, trading in frankincense and what? 3. In Dionysus's recipe for the Socotra Island Punch, he suggested that we add what to make it more celebratory.
Well, that concludes our episode for tonight, folks. We hope you join us next time when we return to the land of olive trees and home to the Dead Sea to hear the tale, The Golden Pail. No matter what Israel does to try and oppress its people, or how much the United States abuses its veto power at the UN Security Council, preventing it from becoming a full member nation, going against the will of the majority of the world, it will always and forever be the country of Palestine in my eyes. Indeed, if we do not hope, come in with low expectations and maintain a fatalistic attitude, we'll never have a better world. So I say, with the power vested in me as the ruler of the underworld, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free.
Another episode, another enchanting journey. Keep the myths in your heart and a song in your step until we revel together once more. Fare thee well.
Good night, everyone. Stay curious.
Tonight we'll reclaim our rights and rewrite this soul. No longer silent, our spirits uncaged. A fire within us, our fury fully raged. The time has come, our voices are strong. Together we will build the world where we belong. Where we belong. Where we belong. Where we belong.